94. Tonight, mostly clear, low around 60. Tomorrow, sunny and a high of 87. Tomorrow night, mostly clear, low around 57. Heading into the work week, we started on Monday with mostly sunny skies and a high near 80. Monday night, patchy fog after 11. Otherwise, mostly cloudy, low of 54. On Tuesday, patchy fog before 11. Partly sunny and a high of 72. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy, low 53. That's the weather forecast for this hour from a station that leaves no listener behind. NBC News Radio, AM 1050, KCAA.
KCAA Loma Linda.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here for our home and auto insurance ELP, Chad Spade with Benefit Source Insurance. You work hard for your money, and Chad can help you keep it. If you've had the same auto and home insurance for more than a couple of years, you could be paying too much. Chad and his team will look at your current insurance and use their network of providers to find better coverage and a better deal for you. Come on, folks, it's free and it's simple, and it could save you a whole lot of time and money. Chad is an independent insurance agent who works for you, not the insurance company. That's why many of our listeners are able to save several hundred dollars by working with our ELPs. Call Chad today at 877-215-5431 for better, more affordable home and auto insurance. That's Chad Spade with Benefit Source Insurance at 877-215-5431. You can also visit their website at insurancemind.net. Contact Chad and his team today.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Deb, again, from Let's Go Shopping with Deb, right here on KCAA 1050 AM and NBC News Radio. And we're in the lovely city of Yucaipa at the third annual Music and Art Festival. Yes, and we have Paul, the one and only Paul that we have been talking to forever. And so, Paul, what do you think of the festival?
This has been a great start to the festival. We're here just the beginning of the second day, and the crowd is filling up. It's a beautifully warm day, and Bev and I are down here painting the mural on the old bus barn. We just painted a part of a steam tractor, and I got to say, Bev did very well. She stayed within the lines. I might even think she did better than I did a little bit on this one. She got the blue paint, and I got the gray paint.
Yes.
We have a lot of music coming up going on this evening. Of course, this group is playing right now up there. It's called Leather Tramp. And then soon after they get finished, a country star, James Wesley, will be playing. And then, of course, our big headliner, Three Dog Night. It's the stage at about 8:30. And we're down here on First Street where there's another stage and a young band playing, livening the crowd up here. It's been again, couldn't ask for better weather, enough breeze to keep you reasonably cool. We're down here where the kids' zone is, and so there's lots of fun for the kids. And, of course, there's lots of fun for everybody at any age up here. We got the carnival. We have a lot of vendors. We have a lot of food. It's just been a wonderful, wonderful afternoon.
Okay, Paul, thank you. And we're going back to the painting. And listen, everybody, getting recording, tricycles, whatever, come on up to the Yucaipa for the third annual Music and Art Festival and have some fun. Ciao.
This is KCAA.
Hi, this is Bob with Real Estate Talk with Bob and Randy. Tune in every Thursday afternoon from 3 until 4 at KCAA Radio 1050, and we will be there to answer your real estate questions, the latest real estate news, and to talk to the leaders of the real estate industry. Our Real Estate Talk, you can find out how to stop your foreclosure, first-time homebuyer information, loan modifications, different kinds of loans you can buy with, short sale strategies, and real estate investing and more. So don't forget, tune in every Thursday afternoon at 3 for Real Estate Talk with Bob and Randy. You'll be glad you did.
Real talk for real people right here in the Inland Empire. We are 1050 AM KCAA.
Good afternoon, Southern California. This is the Constitution Radio. This is G.R. Mobley, and I'm filling in for Douglas Gibbs this afternoon. While Douglas is up in the mountains enjoying the fresh air, he's attending the American Eagle Alliance Forum up in Big Bear Lake. I'm joined in the studio today with the original Joe, and I've got Alex with us as well. Alex's primary stabilizer for Joe on his, or not, I'm sorry, for, for Doug on his regular show. But how are you doing today, Alex?
Well, everything is just coming up daisies.
Really? You're surviving the scorched earth out there.
I love hot weather. I've got a lot of good things coming up in my life. Life is just lovely.
Awesome. Can't complain. Well, I wanted to actually take that segue on the scorched earth, and I'm not sure if you kind of followed the sterling silver thing, and I don't mean, you know, the actual utensils that we eat with. However, I really looked at this whole process of Sterling's conversation, getting out into the press as a real scorched earth type of reaction. And I was kind of curious if everybody who would have gone to a Clippers game would have had a rock in their pocket. If they had been without sin, could they cast that first stone?
Well, I'm really happy for the liberals that they've now finally found the genuine article. All these years they've been yelling about racist this and racist that. They finally got the real thing.
Well, if this is the Constitutional Radio, then there's got to be a constitutional twist to this. And I believe there is.
Well, there is. He's got a right to say what he says, but he doesn't have a right to discomfort other people on the basis of his bigotry.
Understand that, but there's even a different twist. And I'll go all the way back to 1803, the Marbury v. Madison, where we talked about the judicial review even before this and on other segments. Marbury v. Madison actually awarded the position of an appointment from John Adams basically as property rights when Marshall ruled that the William Marbury, a prosperous financier in Maryland, was allocated his position as a property right. So in other words, he was able to take the position of a government. And from that point forward, that's how government workers, and why aren't all workers allocated their right to their property or that position?
I have no idea.
There you go. Well, there's a constitutional twist on the whole thing. So maybe Sterling might have a constitutional leg to stand on because he actually paid for that position. I don't know.
Well, he's an old dinosaur.
He is, and he deserves to be derided by the public. I think they ought to force him to sit ringside and let everybody, you know, scream all their epithets at him until they're all done. And if once they've got it out of their system, it'll be cathartic, and it'll be hopefully, you know, a healing process.
So, but isn't it interesting that apparently all kinds of people knew about these attitudes, including the NAACP, and the money was there, the money was good, so they just kept right on going along.
Well, they obviously loved the sinner, and they weren't trying to correct the problem.
Who was that mayor down in San Diego that was groping all the ladies and been doing it for years, and suddenly they discover it, and they're all outraged, and it turns out everybody knew.
Oh, yeah, and then they excoriated him, and now he's going to probably do some time. I don't know if they've actually struck a deal. I don't follow that. But
it's amazing how the outrage comes out when the money goes away.
Yes, it does. But his money hasn't gone away, and so I'm not sure if he is planning on fighting his position and fighting I really don't know. That only time will tell. But I do look at this in a, you know, I try to take the Christian perspective of we're way too intolerant. I think somebody said, and I don't know, we're all supposed to forgive each other.
I had heard that, yes. That's one of the parts of being a Christian that I find most difficult to deal with.
Well, I think the biggest problem in his particular case is, what is it going to take for this guy to repent and to change his countenance and get himself right with society and the people? I mean, there's been several historical cases of scorched earth mentalities where, you know, we're completely intolerant towards this behavior, this mind model, this paradigm. And anyway,
this guy is radioactive, though, at this point. I don't think he's ever going to reconcile with anyone but Jesus. And that's what he's got to worry about at this point.
I'm not going to make any insinuations. I just refuse to go there. But and I'll just say this, let you make a comment, and then we can kind of move on. But here's a possibility of a guy that may be in an adulterous affair. I don't know. Because he obviously has this relationship with this young lady.
If he can maintain a relationship, which at his age is problematic.
Understand. But there's less – apprehension from the public about that relationship than there is about his racism.
And that was Ann Coulter's point, by the way, on the air this week. She's saying, what about the wife? has everybody forgotten the basic situation here? We got something going on.
Well, so I don't know if you ever saw the movie Minority Report with – I forget who that kid is. Anyway, the whole premise
is – Tom Cruise.
Okay, thank you very much. That's the original Joe pitching in. Tom Cruise is a part of this crime prevention where this guy is going to actually kill his wife and her lover. And the premonition of these three people floating in water can determine when a crime is going to occur. So they come in and they stop him from doing that. And it's interesting. I believe still today it's legal in some states that if you catch your lover, or I should say your spouse, in the act of committing adultery, you can actually legally kill them in the fit of passion.
I think you have to hit them on the rise.
I don't know. But we're starting to feed ourselves these ideas that adultery is not just a bad thing. It's just a natural part of life. And that's the slope that we're sliding down.
Well, that's what the liberals would like us to believe, because they want to destroy the institution of marriage like any other non-governmental institution.
Absolutely. Well, let's move on. I do have a question for you, and I'll let you cogitate on this. And if you want to surf the internet, you're more than welcome. We'll bring Jasmius into this a little bit later on.
If I cogitate, does that make me a codger? I've been accused of that.
No, you can still think without intent, but that wouldn't make you cogitating. You'd have to think with intent. Anyway, the question is, this week something occurred. There was an anniversary that happened in the early 1800s under the Jefferson presidency. And it has actually created a constitutional crisis. It created a crisis back then, and I will tell you what that is. It was the Louisiana Purchase.
I'm for it.
And so what was the constitutional crisis that occurred? I'll let you think about that. Anyway, as we start rapidly going towards our first break, I've got a little bit of time here. For anybody that wants to look up my bio, it's on MobiusStripPress.com. I'm G.R. Mobley, and then I also have a bio that is a little summation of my father, who's D.E. Mobley. I dedicated my first, second, and the third book, or it's basically one work, for him. He's drove a lot of my constitutional passion probably deep into my behavior, mind, and so forth. And so I wanted to make sure that I gave him the credits for that. One of the fundamental premises or principles that I kind of have adopted about society is that civil society is wholly dependent upon the symbiosis. And what I mean by symbiosis is there's this interdependency, not necessarily a one-way dependency, but a mutual benefit of interdependency, that's what symbiosis means, between the fundamental principles of liberty. And what I mean by the symbiosis of the fundamental principles of liberty is that liberty is dependent upon free agency, responsibility, and accountability. When these principles are balanced and in harmony with the individual citizens within our society, liberty then can act as a catalyst at elevating synergy within the community and society. These synergies will lead to a stronger spiritual well-being, a greater productivity, improved health, and development of wealth. Another fundamental principle, I think Alex has probably heard me say, reasonable people equally informed seldom disagree. That's usually where we find ourselves when we start debating things. We may come at it with a level of information that we may have, and we may not understand at a different perspective, such as a great example. There's the standard American history of how there was this huge conquering of the European nations coming into the Western Hemisphere. However, most people don't realize that that was the most advanced level of law that existed on the earth. And when these nations actually came into this hemisphere, they were trying to follow and held themselves to a standard of law, the law of conquering. They actually had a law of conquering, if you read The Spirit of Laws by Montesquieu. And so The history that we read may be, you know, kind of twisted towards, oh, well, that was unfair. But actually, had the situation been reversed and there was the ability for the indigenous people of South America, Central America, or wherever, or even in different parts of the world, able to go in and try to conquer Europe, and had they done so, they probably would have done it in a much more brutal fashion, because conquering was actually being done here in America. But I digress. I'm digging into some perspectives on when you look at things. Sometimes if you don't look at the big picture, you kind of get lost in the minutiae or get lost in the details of what you're talking about. That's one of the reasons why I actually wrote my first book, We the People, Whose Constitution Is It Anyway?, because I thought it was really important to clearly delineate the origins of liberty and the importance of liberty in our lives. So that was the very first part of that book. And I tied it to the premise that Thomas Jefferson said that we were all born by our Creator, we were all born equal by our Creator with inalienable rights. And I'm not quoting, I'm just paraphrasing. But the point of the fact is that our origins of liberty actually do come from our Creator. And if you look at the plan, or I should say what Christ taught, he said that every man must come unto him willingly. You can't force somebody to be saved or accept Christ as your Savior. So that being said, you have to have a level of liberty, which means free agency, responsibility, and accountability to be able to accept Christ, to be able to follow him and live his commandments. So the very first front of the book is like a historical perspective, but the intent of that is to challenge your paradigm of what you understand of Christianity, what you understand of evolution, what you understand of history, anthropology. As a matter of fact, most people don't even understand or have ever heard of the Carroll Pyramids out of Peru and how that really changes this whole perception that there was this land bridge that developed the North American continent that came from Russia across Alaska. So there's lots of challenges that I throw out there to your paradigm, but the driving factor is our liberty comes from a divine source, and we have a responsibility to defend that. In section two of this book, I go through and examine exactly how the framers had innovated the form of government as they started coalescing. They didn't just start off with the Constitutional Republic, as most people understand. They were colonies. They started organizing colonies, and they created a confederation. And right before the Confederation capitulated, these brilliant men created what we know today as our republic, or what I call in the book a hybrid constitutional republic. Then I go in the next logical sequence of, okay, they created this beautiful country with, I would almost say, almost a perfect roadmap for moving towards the future, and how we derailed for that. So the third section is how we derailed from our constitutional republic and started losing our liberties. And, of course, the fourth section is the constitutional fix to that problem. So now that I've laid this out, we understand that there's a fix to our problem, which, as you've listened to me before, is convening a convention. And the big announcement that I'd like to make, and actually I will save the announcement for after the break. There's a huge announcement because in my very first book, I made some premises, and I need to make some corrections to that. Alex.
Sir.
I know that you have dabbled a little bit in, you know, the Constitutional Republic, and I know we've talked, but I think you asked one time, well, what if it doesn't go well, when we were talking about the convention?
Yeah, I don't specifically remember that conversation.
What if they don't recognize it? I think it was the question. When we were talking about the convention, Doug and I were talking about it, you go, well, what if the federal government doesn't recognize it? Well,
that's the situation now, is we have a constitution and they don't recognize it.
Correct.
They're ignoring it.
Correct.
So if they ignore the constitution as it stands, why would they not ignore what you cook up at this convention?
Well, again, it comes down to the republic, and the funding for the federal government actually comes from the republic. The only thing the federal government can do is actually print money. They don't have they don't have access to wealth and being able to – they don't have mining companies. It's other companies that go out and dig up gold.
They don't create wealth is what you're saying.
Correct. And so they're dependent upon – there's a symbiotic relationship between the federal government and the republic.
Well, it's supposed to be symbiotic.
Yes.
But in my opinion, it's become parasitic. And that's the problem. The parasite has grown to the point now. See, the trouble with – when you talk about parasitic and symbiotic, the problem with the parasite is that if it kills its host, there's a point at which the parasite becomes so successful that the host dies and the parasite dies. And that's the kind of thing that we're running into now with the government becoming bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, is it's going to kill off the whole system.
Well, say they must have plans because they have to recognize that they're killing the goose that laid the golden egg.
Wonderful analogy. It's my favorite, and though they don't. And when I taught fifth grade, the kids in my class would raise their hand and go, nobody's that stupid. Nobody would think to kill the – but they are.
And it always happens. But there is actually a way to stop them from killing the goose, but they have to have a plan, and there is a plan. And I talk about that in my first book, throughout my first book, and I even reiterated in my second book. The plan is either those of us on the republic side of liberty and those of them on the globalist, or I should say the subjugation side.
Statist.
There you go. Because it seems like the mind model or the paradigm there is rampant. But we've got a little break here. So I'm going to send it back to the Joe and let him take us off.
K-C-A-A.
What's your constitutional IQ? Your quest to learn the Constitution can be fun for the whole family. Learn about the Constitution as you play the Constitution Quest board game. Learn more at ConstitutionQuest.com.
The true patriots of All-Star Collision have been proudly serving the Inland Empire for over 20 years. Built on honesty, integrity, quality, and old-fashioned customer service, we offer lifetime warranties for our work, and every vehicle serviced by All-Star Collision is washed, detailed, the headlights polished, fluids are checked and topped off, safety checked, and returned in showroom condition. We offer free estimates, are approved by major insurance companies, and accept all claims for all cars and trucks. We use computerized frame straightening to factory specifications, offer fiberglass body repair and paint, free local pickup and delivery, and after-hours towing. Mention this radio program at drop-off and receive $100 off or a free rental car for up to 5 days during your repair. Visit us at allstarci.com or at 522 Railroad Street in Corona. Call us at 951-279-9161. We are the kings of wreck and roll.
You're listening to the Douglas V. Gibbs Show on KCAA 1050 AM, your weekend dose of truth.
With the rise of fiat currency and collapsing currencies, a safe haven asset is out there. For the last 5,000 years, gold has been your best insurance to empower yourself and your future. You can acquire embedded gold cards that can enable you to use gold as an investment in everyday trade transactions or as an insurance for the future. Gold is the oldest, most reliable, and unchangeable payment method in the history of the world. The opportunity is incredible because gold is real money and currency is not. Gold will survive when currency cannot. Learn more by going to $1.com. That's $1, S-E-N-S-E, the number $1.com, and contacting your local team member at 909-657-0091 so that you can learn how to become a partner and have the opportunity to get your gold for free. Visit $1.com and call your local team member today at 909-657-0091 so that you may become a partner.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, more of the greatest talk on earth.
And the diversity just keeps on coming.
Your superstation, AM 1050, News Talk KCAA.
Oh, All right, so we're back. Yes, subjugation and liberty. Those are the two paths. And speaking of paths, there are paths of resistance to the subjugation, or if one wants to look at it as invoking change, there are paths of resistance in invoking change. I've talked to Douglas Gibbs a lot about this, and we've actually agreed on a lot of things. And there's many points in time where Douglas has actually come back to me and said, or a couple points in time, because most of the time we're usually both right because we agree. But there's been a couple of times where he's come back to me and said, you know what, I was wrong, you were right. And the big announcement that I have is that in my first book, I had a very, I want to say, grand perspective of the convention, constitutional convention. And it wasn't after I've argued these contentions and points with Douglas that I was wrong. There are really, or it's important to differentiate between a constitutional convention, an Article 5 convention, and all different types of conventions that the Republic can convene. That being said, in my second book, I actually started correcting that and trying to refer to it as a convention for Republic review, not a convention for rewriting the Constitution, not a convention to amend or an Article 5 convention, but a convention to conduct an audit where the states get together and say, you know, these are the powers that we all agreed that we were giving the general government, so all these other powers we don't agree on. How many of these things do we think are good, and do we really want them to have that? To conduct that audit, because some of that stuff's really good. All that being said, the paths of resistance that we have within our system is the election process by appointing the appropriate leadership for both the local levels within the Republic and at the national level in the general government. The next alternative we have of resistance is appealing to the court system, which actually feeds to the federal government. And Madison's brilliant point was no one should be a judge of themselves. And too often, the federal government, because it is our highest court system based on the layout of our legal or the judiciary, it becomes the judge for itself. And so that's maybe an idea there that one could look at in the third book of how we can fix the Republic so that we don't have one hand taking advantage of the other. A third path of resistance is nullification. The fourth is appealing to the union. So once a state starts nullifying, like Washington and Colorado, on the drug laws, they can start appealing to the union, hey, toke up, dudes. Not like a lot of people would listen. I think a lot of people are going to watch those two states and go, well, that was an abject failure, or maybe it was a success. We don't know. Only time will tell.
It depends on how the as in everything, it depends on how the media handles it. When there were sanctuary cities and churches were allowing communist guerrillas to take up residence in their sanctuaries and all that, the media was in favor of it. They got away with it. Nobody suffered because of it. Nobody was arrested. With the smoking, the dope, I'm sure the same thing's going to happen. But you got a lot of areas now that are saying they're not going to enforce federal gun laws. And the more federal gun laws they get, the more they're not going to enforce them. That, I would wager, is going to be challenged.
Well, sure. There's going to be other challenges as well as far as the First Amendment rights, rights of assembly, rights of speech. We're already seeing many of these challenges coming forward that are actually violating our constitutional rights.
Certainly the prohibition on campaign funding and such is a violation of that right there. And yet the media pretend that it's some kind of exercise in liberty.
Well, yeah, but for them, it's an exercise of control because they have this blanketed protection that there shall always be a free press. Anyway, back to the paths of resistance. The states can nullify, and then they can make these appeals to the other states. And I used Washington, Colorado about token up. But they can make appeals to the other states, just like Jefferson and Madison did with Kentucky and Virginia. Their resolutions, they basically appealed to all of the states and said, please join us in fighting these unconstitutional laws of sedition. The next thing they can do is then start passing legislation within their own states, and again, that's what Colorado and Washington did. And then they can actually, the next step is in that process of getting the legislation together, they can convene a convention. So the sixth step of a path of resistance is convening a convention. In other words, you've gone through all of these other processes and they haven't worked. The elections haven't worked. The appeals hasn't worked. Nullification hasn't worked. The rest of the states haven't worked. Even in your own legislation, it's not working. Then you got to get the states together. And the only way to do that is to get the state legislations together to convene a convention. So how do they do that? You basically create the appeal at the state legislative level, and then they start reaching across the state boundaries, coalescing. Voila, we've got a convention. And in the 21st century, guess what, Alex?
What?
We can do it online. We don't have to go to Independence Hall. We could actually create a secure online convention, because I talk about that in my first book, that there's no reason to have a boondoggle and let these people go and have fun. They've got work to do. We've got a lot of work to do.
I was looking forward to nailing a sheaf of papers on the church door.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
We don't do that anymore, huh?
Is your middle name Luther? So if the sixth path of resistance is convening a convention, the next two alternatives are not good, because that means that we've literally been nailed by tyranny to a level that we have to surrender our membership, which is secession, and then basically peel away from the republic and the benefits that come from that republic. And then the last, of course, is the revolution, which a lot of people just want to jump to that. And I think that all the states that found benefit in coming into this union, if you just think that the next step is a revolution, then you're really missing the whole point of the union and the benefits of that that the framers created for us. So it's worth protecting, and it doesn't take much effort getting the legislatures together, which segues straight into my book, We the People, the Strategy to Convene a Convention for Republic Review. Now, at the very front of the book, it'll probably throw a lot of people off if it's the first book you read. No point in reading that. Get past the preface and just go straight into the ground battle, because within the book, I try to create some corrections and correlations to the first book, and I kind of reiterate some other things, like I talk about the Department of Babysitting and how unconstitutional that would be. Well, when people mention the Department of – well, Alex, name a department.
Agriculture.
Unconstitutional. Where in the Constitution is there an amendment that gave the general government the power to regulate those roles, responsibilities? They don't have one.
Education.
So there's only a couple departments that Alex could name that would actually be found within the supremacy and necessary proper that was considered at that point in time and allowed by the Republic, which was the State Department, the War Department, and the Treasury. That's it. So moving on into the second book, how do we do this? Well, the battleground is really easy, and I actually articulate that if I only had 5,000 ardent constitutional, I'll call them warriors, to go out and to press local leaders, your sheriffs, your city council, your mayors, your anybody that raises their arm to a square and says, I will protect and defend the Constitution. All you have to do is point out that the Constitution is being so violated that their first responsibility when they're not actually performing the necessary jobs, such as driving to work and then, you know, arresting people for the sheriff or prosecuting, when they have a moment of time, they need to articulate in a letter to the state legislature that they need to convene a convention so that we can stop spending ourselves into oblivion before we capitulate. So the ground battle is pretty easy. It's very straightforward. You just find your local representatives within your own Republican form state, because all states are required by the Constitution to be Republican form, and get your representatives into the state legislature and start pounding the message, convene a convention. Guess what? We already have now 34 states, with Michigan throwing their hat into the ring about 2-3 weeks ago. There are 34 states that have requested to convene an Article 5 convention. Now, if those state legislatures only knew that they didn't have to convene an Article 5, they could actually convene a convention for Republic review and say, you know what, we never gave this power. And with 13 states that say we don't believe this is constitutional, get rid of it. We can actually start peeling back a lot of the unconstitutional government, because you have to have 3/4 of the states to agree to make something constitutional. If you have more than 1/4 of the states, which is 13 states, then to actually reject an idea. So if you have 13 states that reject that idea, then you've already exceeded the 25% requirement to stop something from becoming constitutional for the federal government to do.
Well, the reason that I get upset about the campaign finance restrictions is that the left controls the media almost 100%, except for Fox News and shows like ours. And as a consequence, it's kind of like, Don't get into an argument by somebody who buys ink by the barrel.
Well, the media and journalism used to be the stalwart vanguard of liberty.
That's their function. That's why we call them the Fourth Estate.
What happened? They're no longer that. And I'll tell you why. And we mentioned this in my very first appearance. A gentleman from Riverside called and said, what can we do about this monopoly that the left or progressives have on our media and our press and journalism, and
to the point that look how they're handling Benghazi. They're ignoring it. They're flat saying we're not doing that.
Sorry. Sure. So here's
most important story in a year.
I'm not going to argue. But here's the thing: we lost journalism and the vanguard of liberty when the counterculture took it over. There's no reason why we can't take it back. We can do the similar stuff. I'm not going to advocate we go in and take over radio stations like they did. But I would advocate that these Tea Party, Oath Keepers, or Freedom Works, or
little bitty conservative radio shows,
small grassroots activist organizations actually go out and shut down, do a protest at NBC. Let everybody come in, and then you can basically hold up your grievances. They haven't covered this. They're not providing good biased journalism, and they ought to be punished for that. Let's go with that scorched earth mentality.
Well, this is where I'm really with you, is winning the hearts and minds of the American people. And I think that the Obama administration is the handiest and most powerful tool we have for doing that.
Right. And if anybody believes that it's important to protect liberty, that is, you know, well-to-do enough to throw money around, such as, let's say, Bill Gates or Soros, then what they should have is an open award for the most unbiased station, you know, whether ABC, NBC, Fox, or whoever, that is actually reporting all the events is as unbiased as possible.
But you just mentioned George Soros and one other. They're the enemy. They're that's the one thing that they want the least. If you're talking about the Scaife brothers or the Koch brothers.
Sure, sure, absolutely. I understand. I say Soros because I understand that paradigm. But who knows? He could repent, and he could actually become a stalwart fighting for liberty one day.
Well, we have to, as conservatives, and this is something that I've always, you know, I used to work with the Contras fighting for Central America and such, and it's always been my plan to use the left's weapons against it. And so we have to fight for the hearts and minds of the people with bumper stickers, with songs, with slogans, with TV shows,
sure,
with movies.
Absolutely. And that's the battlefield.
That's what needs to be done. We have to get people on our side,
mm-hmm,
to understand what the issues are.
So we have to,
don't.
But Alex, we need people to actually start at least starting to hold those who hold their hand up to the square and swear that they will defend and protect the Constitution. Let's hold them accountable first because they took an oath.
I'm for it.
And so let's get them to start saying, hey, we need to start protecting our liberty. We need to fight and peel back this federal tyranny or general government tyranny. So that's the first portion of the second book. The second portion of that book is the command and control level and where the, what they can bring to the table. I talk heavily about possibly Glenn Beck and the Blaze doing it, and or anybody can do this. Kelsey Grammer could come in and provide the resources. I mean, the Blaze is a perfect target organization that has all the resources right now and the ground troops to actually go out and do this. I would say this, and I mentioned this to Doug. I said if Glenn Beck sucked this up and acted upon this, I would say within 1 year we would see the states aligned to convening a convention. It would be that quick. Now, I'm going to be talking more about this on the 17th when I come back because I'm going to be all by myself and I won't be able to have this dialogue with you.
Oh, you'll love it.
But you're going to be gone with Doug somewhere, and I forgot where that's going to be. Where are you guys going on the 17th so that I can talk more about this?
Okay, we're going to be visiting with my hero, Ann Coulter.
Okay, so when you're waxing on with Ann Coulter here, I hope you guys call back in, maybe to stump me on
the
question.
We'll do a remote. We're gonna be with Ann Coulter and Dinesh D'Souza, May 17th, 8:30 a.m. to 4 o'clock, at the Fox Riverside Performing Arts Center. Now, is this my friends don't want to hear about this anymore. That's all I talk about. I am so thrilled to be able to get in contact with these people because, as you say, these are the movers and shakers. These are the people that have the voice, that are connected either directly or indirectly to major financing. I want to see movies made.
Why don't you convince Anne to be the face of the movement for Republic Review?
First, I want to make friends with her. I don't want to feed her anything. I just want to be friends.
I will say she's probably the most dangerous person or most dangerous woman I know as far as facing evil because she is relentless when it comes to evil.
Well, I've been reviewing her books in preparation for this meeting, and I'm absolutely amazed at how much she covers, how she chooses the most pertinent pimple to pop. She's got a scalpel for a pen. She's got the humor. She injects the humor when it needs to be injected. And I go through the issues in her six. I have six of her books, and I'm just amazed at the quality and the quantity of information that she puts out on a page. It's absolutely a godsend.
Wow, your wallet must be brimming with Ann Coulter cash. I'm kidding. I know that, and I actually agree with you. She is a very concise, and she articulates her points very well. And in some regards, I think she has a little bit of a tempered, hard edge to her that's, you know, kind of rubs people the wrong way, but I kind of like that.
She's got what my mother used to call the velvet claw.
Oh, the iron underneath the velvet?
The iron underneath the velvet, yeah.
Yeah. Well, to do a shameless plug, I'm going to be speaking at the Constitutional Association on the first Saturday of June. And I wanted to point out some pretty important dates for anybody that's looking for some constitutional activities and or events because these dates might actually mean something to somebody out there. May 25th coming up is the anniversary of the Constitutional Convention convening in Independence Hall, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We also got July 13th. Congress passes the Northwest Ordinance. And we've got July 16th, Roger Sherman proposes the Kinetic Compromise. These are all good events that somebody can have. September 17th, all 12 states' delegations approve. So that's when they sign the Constitution. So let's start planning some constitutional events, folks. October 27th is the first series of articles that the Federalist Papers were written out by Jay, Hamilton, and Madison. And December 7th is when Delaware was the first state to ratify the Constitution. So if you're in Delaware, let's have a rally for that. June 21st, the Constitution becomes effective for the ratifying states. And June 8th, James Madison introduces the proposed Bill of Rights in the House of Representatives. So there's just some dates for folks if you're wanting to attune an event towards something significant other than just the 4th of July. Let's go to a break, Joe. Can you do that for us? Thanks.
K-C-A-A.
Hey, this is Doug from Constitution Radio. How do you feel about the economy right now? Are you concerned about the United States being over $17 trillion in debt? How do you think it will affect you? What are you doing to protect your assets? Some people have found a way to capitalize on these conditions and receive an early retirement, regardless of their age. Sound interesting? Call 909-657-0091 and ask for Bob. That's 909-657-0091 for your chance at an early retirement.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Tired of the lies? Come here for the truth. Douglas V. Gibbs on KCAA 1050 AM.
The true patriots of All-Star Collision have been proudly serving the Inland Empire for over 20 years. Built on honesty, integrity, quality, and old-fashioned customer service, we offer lifetime warranties for our work, and every vehicle serviced by All-Star Collision is washed, detailed, the headlights polished, fluids are checked and topped off, safety checked, and returned in showroom condition. We offer free estimates, are approved by major insurance companies, and accept all claims for all cars and trucks. We use computerized frame straightening to factory specifications, offer fiberglass body repair and paint, free local pickup and delivery, and after-hours towing. Mention this radio program at drop-off and receive $100 off or a free rental car for up to 5 days during your repair. Visit us at allstarci.com or at 522 Railroad Street in Corona. Call us at 951-279-9161. We are the kings of wreck and roll.
The Murrieta Temecula Republican Assembly is the largest chapter of the California Republican Assembly. The MTRA meets the first Friday of every month at 6 p.m. at the Temecula City Hall Conference Center, 41,000 Main Street, Temecula, California. Learn more at mt-ra.com. We are the conscience of the Republican Party.
All aboard the Inland Empire Express, 10:50 a.m., leaving no listeners behind. KCAA.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. We've got Jasmius with us now, all the way from the Pacific Northwest with a cold front bearing down on him.
Well, we had summer this week, and now fall officially starts today.
Yay. Well, now you don't have now you don't have to put that sacrificial lamb, because whenever the sun is up there for more than a week, the people in the Pacific Northwest have to wonder what they've done wrong, because they don't deserve that kind of weather.
Sun? What the hell's that?
Hey, I love your cap. Love your cap.
Oh, well, absolutely. I never take it off. I even shower in it. I wanted to make an observation about Ann Coulter, because I'm a big Ann Coulter fan, too, even if she does like Chris Christie. But Ann Coulter is Sarah Palin without the twang. I mean, Ann Coulter was the Sarah Palin before Sarah Palin came along. Ann Coulter is if Sarah Palin is a Mama Grizzly, Ann Coulter is a Rottweiler. Love Ann Coulter.
Did you get a chance to hear the very beginning? I threw a constitutional question out there. It's not a part of the game, and I got to get that game myself. But I asked about the constitutional crisis that came from this week's anniversary of the Louisiana Purchase.
the anniversary or the Louisiana Purchase itself? And I'm assuming you're not referring to what Mary Landrieu of Louisiana did in connection with Obamacare.
No, no, no. So the Louisiana Purchase, which we just celebrated Wednesday, the anniversary of that, caused actually a constitutional crisis. Do you know what that was? You know what Madison's ardent point was that everybody just ignored?
Well, I'm not sure about Madison's point, but the gist of it was that President Thomas Jefferson made the Louisiana Purchase, made the deal, signed it on his own initiative without getting congressional approval.
Considering it was a treaty and the Senate did pass it, that's how they squeaked it through as an approved thing. But Madison's point was, okay, yeah, you can make the purchase, but the problem is you don't have the authority in the Constitution to possess the land. And in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 17, it clearly states that the federal government can only own up to 10 nautical miles by 10 nautical miles for the government seat, and then for these specific purposes, and it talks about national defense or for proper buildings, but not for, I think, roach flea hoppers or whatever's out there that they think they can protect. Bottom line is, Madison says, if you want to have that role, responsibility, or power, you have to amend the Constitution. And look at, we're still dealing with it today.
With the desert tortoise. But the whole republic review process it has to happen in concert with the political process, because the political process is the vehicle in order to gain enough control of state legislatures and of enough state legislatures to in turn enable the states to matter again and move in that direction. It's really all, speaking of symbiosis, the republic review process and the political process have to work hand in glove.
Yes, and I think the republic, it's kind of like, I think when the epiphany may occur, the republic, you know, it's kind of like when somebody really understands what power they wield, they go, wow, I actually have that kind of power. And so they may not understand some of the important things that they'll have to either learn or put in front of this process to say, you know, the one thing that we need to ensure that we protect in this whole process is individual liberty and individual sovereignty. That was the fundamental principle that the framers protected as they created this hybrid constitutional republic. And I call it a hybrid constitutional republic because they retained the Confederacy, because the states have all the power of saying what can be changed and what can't. And so anyway.
My big objection to the Louisiana Purchase was fraternizing with the French.
That's your only objection?
Well, that pretty much – the French. Wow. I'm sorry. At least we got the best of that one. Napoleon was in a tight spot and didn't manage to shaft us in the process.
I didn't know the bathing was in the Constitution, actually.
Well, if you think about it, I think the French got theirs in their own revolution. I mean, they ended up getting Napoleon, right?
Well, it's a whole other fish to fry. But I'm just saying that anytime the French come along, I'm wary.
Well, let's move on to the hot topic of the week, and I think it's the Benghazi gate.
Ain't it the truth?
I just want to throw this out here, and I kind of not followed anything in the news, and I don't spend a lot of time watching a lot of news, other than the fact that I listen in a constitutional context of, you know. Some people just don't get it. You know, like when I get a chance to watch O'Reilly, Hannity, and all these other people, they're great voices of conservative ideals, but they don't understand the Constitution. Anywho.
Well, regarding Benghazi, I confess that yesterday I was standing on a major intersection in Whittier with a sign, full-size poster sign, saying, "Who betrayed Benghazi?" Every time one of these revelations comes up, I'm back out on that corner.
You're a good man, Alex.
Well, I like you say, you got to win the hearts and minds of the people, and the media has ignored that story to the point where it's embarrassing.
Well, you know, they've ignored it, but one of the the main reason why they've been able to ignore it is because the administration has been stonewalling the whole time, ignoring valid legal subpoenas. And what came out this week, the Ben Rhodes email that he sent to then UN Ambassador Susan Rice to go on the Sunday shows that Sunday and just lie up a storm, blame it on that anti-Muslim video, which, by the way, nobody had seen until the White House started promoting it. And say blame it on that and on a spontaneous protest that just happened to have rocket-propelled grenades and mortars and artillery pieces and instead of a failure of policy. Now, that came out this week, and that has led to where they're now going to appoint a House Select Committee on Benghazi, chaired by Trey Gowdy of South Carolina, which means those hearings should be on pay-per-view.
Well, he's an ex-prosecutor. That guy is murder when it comes to going after wrongdoers.
Well, I hope they can get to the truth. Let me give you a scenario a friend told me. And if you have to really back up to the beginning of the Arab Spring, that all of a sudden the cost of food starts to shift. People start to starve throughout the Middle East who are literally living from hand to mouth. And that's just because the quality of life there and the liberty that they enjoy is just that good. Anywho, the Arab Spring starts and prior to that, and actually you can go back to the Bush administration, there's NGOs and other organizations that funnel money and weapons and so forth into these nations and into these bad people's hands. And so for a long time, there's been this funneling of money into Libya and guns that have been provided to al-Qaeda and or terrorist organizations. And lo and behold, Gaddafi gets wind of this and says, hey, as all a part of this Arab Spring, Gaddafi then says, hey, you know what? I want to surrender. And I think some people knew, at least my friend asserts, that other people knew that he had this level of information that could have made it public, so it was just more convenient for the uprising to just topple his regime and he'd be dragged out as a head of state and be assassinated by his own people. That was, I guess, a just call for him. And then moving forward, as we've ratcheted down security and forced Benghazi to be a cesspool of nothing but thugs in trouble and maintaining this consulate or facility, whatever you want to call it.
Arms depot.
So the biggest question is, why was he there that night? Out of all the nights, why would you send your ambassador into an area that is probably the least protected and also have the convenience of not being able to respond if something would have happened?
Well, like Chico Marx said, though, are you going to believe me or are you going to believe your lying eyes?
Anyway, so...
Well, and how would the jihadists who attacked the consulate know to attack when Ambassador Stevens was there? That suggests that somebody tipped them off.
Well, his people were telling people on the phone and in emails, et cetera, that the guards, that the local militiamen who were supposedly guarding the compound were taking pictures of it the day before.
Whether we get to the truth and whether we get to the full level of truth or just some truth to where we can, you know, go, okay, we've got to that and walk away, because it seems like we placate ourselves very easily as a society and as a people here.
Well, it's about getting the truth out in public view, publicly disseminating the truth, because you're not going to get the Justice Department to pursue obstruction of justice charges that come out of these House Select Committee hearings on Benghazi. And it's like I say all along, and this gets back to the core issue or topic of the day, which is, how do you hold a lawless regime legally accountable by legal means?
And the answer is that you
political process. Yeah.
You push the issue to the point where the media can't ignore it anymore, which is what's happening now.
Exactly.
And then you win the hearts and minds of the people based on the deplorable, murderous conduct of this administration.
Let me emphasize one thing, because you're right. There is a political process, and we happen to be a republic, and that process is republicanism, little r republicanism. We have the republic that actually has a role, responsibility, and an accountability to the republic. And so that process is getting the republic engaged and getting our representation and so forth. We need to get back to a point where the president is the most – the president of this nation or the republic is the most powerful person but has no ability to affect the domestic matters of the republic.
Well, these incidents like Fast and Furious and Benghazi put a human face on the morality play. Abstractions tend to confuse and bore people, but when you can show them that these people were left hung out to dry, that they begged for protection and the protection they had was taken away from them, and nobody went to their rescue or tried to or even suggested that that was a good idea, these things resonate.
Yep. Well, that's it for today, and I'm sorry for cutting anybody off that was waiting on the phones, but we'll be back next week. Douglas will be back at the helm, and I will be back on the 17th while he is out at the Inland Empire United, or the United Inland Empire. Thank you very much, and have a blessed week.
KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM. The station that leaves no listener behind.
From the KCAA Weather Center, I'm Chris Earl Phillips. For this afternoon, sunny and a high of 94. Tonight, mostly clear, low around 60. Tomorrow, sunny and a high of 87. Tomorrow night, mostly clear, low around 57. Heading into the work week, we started on Monday with mostly sunny skies and a high near 80. Monday night, patchy fog after 11. Otherwise, mostly cloudy, low of 54. On Tuesday, patchy fog before 11. Partly sunny and a high of 72. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy, low 53. That's the weather forecast for this hour from a station that leaves no listener behind. NBC News Radio, AM 1050, KCAA.
Attention, teachers, nurses, social workers, government employees, police officers, and firefighters. If you are still paying on student loans, then get ready for a special announcement. Your entire student loan can be forgiven. You heard correctly. Broadsword Student Advantage has free information on how you can potentially have the remaining balance of your student loan debt completely forgiven. We can help anyone with student loans potentially cut their payments in half, reduce their interest rate, or consolidate their outstanding loan. But if you are a teacher, nurse, social worker, government employee, police officer, or firefighter, you have the added benefit of potentially having your student loan completely forgiven. Call now for free information to find out how. Call 800-481-2993. That's 800-481-2993. Don't waste another payment on your old student loans. Call for your free information now. 800-481-2993. That's 800-481-2993.
This is Dick from Carpet Masters. Carpet Masters has been serving the Inland Empire for